Been a great title for the message today. But see this ahead of time. But I had to think of a title, and what came to my mind at the time was a box of chocolates. I'll tell you about that a little bit more. I just invite you to stand as we hear God's word. I'm going to go a little bit further than what we did for responsive reading. We go to verse 11. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And in the Pew Bible, it's on page 1605. 1605 in your Pew Bible. If you have your own Bible, it's whatever page it's on. Romans chapter 5, 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words before us today. These are joyful words. These are great words that I pray today will bring a smile to our faces and change us within our hearts, where we need to be changed, and where we just say, Lord, you are so awesome. Your love came first in order for me to have these kinds of things take place in my life through your Son, Jesus Christ. Be with us now, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Every religion in the world has a God that says you must do something in order to get to heaven. But one, only one religion, one faith in the entire world that is different. And that's Christianity. Christianity is the only faith where God has done everything out of love for the whole human race and offers salvation to everyone by his grace. Christianity is the only one where God has done it all for us. And God who comes to us. Every other world religion, you have to do something to work your way, do something to please your God, whoever it may be. But we follow Jesus, he's done it all for us. And that's the good news. That's why we have missionaries. That's why we want people to go to places where they never hear the gospel. It's why we, even in our own community, you know, even though we may have churches, and there's a lot of people who go to churches, it doesn't mean they've heard the truth. Or they've heard it, they just don't understand it. And that's where God wants to use us. So I want to start today by just asking this. What are we like? What are we like without Jesus Christ in our lives? What are we like? And I just want to be honest. And I want you to be honest with yourself, with God this morning too. What are you really like without Jesus? And the first one is in verse 6, it says, we are powerless over sin. No matter how hard you try, no matter how hard I try, we're going to sin. And that's a problem. That is a problem. We think of just with this coronavirus that's going on, there is a lot of fear that is taking place, if you're aware of it or not. There's people who are afraid to die. Now, if you don't have Christ in your life, it's okay to fear death, because you should. But when we know Jesus as our Savior, that is something whereby he does his next part in your outline here. It comes later on. But Jesus takes away that fear. I used to have that fear for many years, as a young person. I thought of it when I go to sleep at night. I didn't want to die in my sleep, so I wasn't sure where I was going to go. And I did really want to go to heaven. I just wasn't sure how to get there. And I feared death. So the last thing I wanted to do is to die and end up in hell. Next one is that we are sinners. You know, we're powerless over sin. That makes us sinners. And Romans chapter 6, verse 6 even goes further and calls us, we're slaves to sin. A slave, you know, can a slave do anything? By him or herself? No. You're a slave. You are stuck. A slave has to listen to everything the master tells him to do or her to do. Sin can be that master. The real ruler we know is Satan, the devil. But sin masters us. And we're powerless. And so we do what sinners do. We sin a lot. So don't be here today and go like, well, I don't sin that much. I don't sin as much as Dean Ramsey. No, or go, I don't sin as much as Dale Garrels. You know, we all sin. And sin is what separates us from God. And as a believer, when we know we sin, it should prick our hearts and our minds and conscience, where we go like, Lord, forgive me for thinking that way. Yeah, thinking that way. Forgive me for the way that I think. Forgive me for what I did say. Forgive me for what I didn't say when I should have said it. Forgive me for what I do and things I don't do. We need forgiveness, my friends. Daily, over and over again. In our text here, it calls us, if we are honest, that we are enemies of God. That's pretty blunt, to think that you are an enemy of God. The wages of sin, Romans 6:23 tells us, the wages of sin is what?
Death.
It's death, yeah. That's what we deserve. As sinners, we deserve death. We deserve to be condemned. We deserve to go to hell because of who we are. That is when we don't have Christ in our lives. That's just being painting an honest picture here before us today. And I hope that this is kind of an accurate picture. It's not everything that we find in Scripture, but it gives us a good view of, this is what I'm like without Jesus. I'm powerless over sin. I'm a sinner. I love to do it. I do it without even realizing it. It doesn't bother me. And I'm an enemy of God. And yet, if it wouldn't be for God's love towards me, I mean, he still sent us his son to die for us when we're this way. It shows us the kind of love that he has for you and for me. So, now that I've given you the bad news, I'm going to do something a little out of the ordinary here. I brought with me a box of chocolates. You know how hard it is to find a box of chocolates these days? But I know there's kids over here. Deacon? Yeah, I know that's your name. Zoe? It's good that you're here today. And this is your little sister? Well, here, I brought a box of chocolates, and now it's up to Grandpa and Grandma, and I mean, I don't know if they're, are they allergic to nuts?
No, they can't have.
I want you just to look, and you can take one. Okay, I'll give you this one. It's got a little wrapper on it, I believe. Okay, Zoe, take one. Oh, you are so welcome. Let me see here. Ed, you're the youngest. And you can have one. And congratulations on the engagement, too. Is Brooke here?
She's not.
Oh, because if she was here, you'd give her the chocolate. I mean, I know there's Angel way back here. Angel, have a chocolate. Okay, now if you can, I want you to taste them. Brody, I wasn't going to hear about you guys. Take one. Brody can have one. Oh, you have a candy?
Yeah.
Dean, you know. Ellen, you got chocolate. There. Well, let me see here. I saw you drooling, so I thought we'd be done. Now, here is the question. Have you tasted it?
Yeah.
What do you have? What flavor do you have? Heath. A Heath flavor, which means like a toffee, caramel thing. Toffee. What kind do you have? A dark chocolate, you think. But it tastes like dark chocolate. But it's different than what Zoe's got. And she can't talk.
Peanuts.
It's peanuts. Did you try that, Steve?
Okay.
I just want to know what you have. You picked one, what do you have? Angel, what kind do you have? What flavor is it?
Caramel.
Caramel. Okay. Brooke, what flavor?
Peanut.
Okay.
Caramel.
Caramel?
The covered cherry.
Oh, chocolate covered cherry. Now, don't get mad at me if I didn't give you a chocolate, okay? Because we got to move on here. Alan is watching his clock. I'm just going to say this. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. But I wanted to use it today of just saying, that's why I asked, what did you have? Tell me the kind of chocolate that you have, because that's what really takes us into Romans, where we're going next. I want you to see all the things that we have because of Jesus going to the cross, dying in our place, and rising again on the third day, the resurrection. And it tells us we have. If you have your Bible, you can underline it in your Bible as we go through them. So the second point is this. What are we like when we have Jesus Christ? What are we like? We heard what we're like when we don't have him. Now what do we have because of Jesus? The first thing it says there in verse 1 is that we have what? We have peace with God. Do we need to be afraid of dying or death?
No.
No. God replaces that fear with a peace. We need that fear because Jesus was victorious over sin and death and Satan. And our faith is in Him. On Him, in Him, through Him. Always. So how do we get this peace with God? The answer is by being justified through faith. Oh no, what in the world is justified mean? What does that mean to be justified? I want you to know that justification by faith only, period, is what the Great Reformation is all about. We are saved by grace through faith, period. By the word alone, by grace alone. We are not saved by the things we do. We're trying to work our way to heaven. Justified means just as if I never sinned. Jesus laid down His life for me, and when God looks at me because I have faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, He looks at me through Jesus, His Son, and He sees me as no sin. It's incredible. If this is you, without Jesus, you receive Christ, He covers you with His blood, and now when God looks at you, He has to look at you through His Son. And you'll see Jesus. You're sinless in His sight. Doesn't mean you stop sinning, but you're justified because your faith is in His Son. Because of that, it goes on in verse 2, we have gained access to God. Before, how did the people gain access to God in Jesus' day and in the Old Testament days? They had to have a mediator. They had to have a high priest. They had to go to him and take their sacrifice to him. And the high priest would butcher the lamb or the ram or whatever it was, and the blood would be received and put on the altar on behalf of the people for the forgiveness of their sins. Some things, a life had to be taken, which was an animal or a bird, for the forgiveness of their sins. Jesus became the best perfect sacrifice, superior sacrifice out of all of them, and He did it for us. And we gain access to God. It's just like, you know, and I came to the church here, you know, before I was pastor, if the doors were locked, I was just out of luck. But when Charlie gave me the keys, I could open it up, the doors with the key, and I've got access inside the church. And I can come in. That's a great thing. You ever gone somewhere where the door is locked and you can't get in? It's pretty defeating. It's maddening. But when you got the key to open the door, no big deal. You got access to get in. If you have an iPad, you forget the password. Can you get in to where you want to get into without the password? No. Give it to your wife. She'll get you in there. You know? But if you know the password gives you access into what you need for information or what you want to do, like playing games or whatever. Jesus laid down His life so we've gained access right to God. He is our mediator. And He is the one who allows that to take place. Where we go to verse 2, we now have a new standing with God. Because we're justified by faith, we have a new standing with God. I am righteous in God's sight. It's not what I've done, it's what Jesus has done for me that makes me that way. And if I have a new standing with God because I'm justified by faith, then I have a new hope because of God. What does that do to us when we have a new hope? Gives us confidence, and it gives us joy. We have a hope. There's more to this life than what we see and what we live. To eat, drink, sleep, is that all it is? To see your kids grow up, your grandkids come, grow up. There's more to life than all that. Our real home is heaven. And so we live on this world, in this life, knowing that we can be used of God, be used by God, but this isn't really our home. We rejoice in our sufferings because Jesus allows us to do that. We know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character. So tribulations and difficulties and problems in our lives, they strengthen, they test our faith, and they strengthen our faith. And character produces hope, and character is doing what is right when nobody else is looking. Doing the right thing when no one else is looking, that's character. If we look at these things that take place because of Jesus, it starts with hope and it ends with hope. And we know that hope does not disappoint us because God has poured into our hearts His love by the Holy Spirit that He has given to us. It's God's love again that comes to us. And His love is agape love. An unconditional love. We can love others that we find it difficult to love by ourselves. We have to have God's love to love people. I sometimes run into this with my confirmation class. I don't like so-and-so. I wish they weren't in my class. And I'm going like, what would Jesus do? I don't care. I don't like them. I don't want them in my class. I don't like them. And I go like, hey, we still have to love one another. You don't have to like them, but you got to love them. And so it goes on. When Jesus is in us, we can love others in ways we could not do otherwise. We have been justified by His blood. And the answer, and the question of that goes is when? When were we justified by His blood? The moment we believed in Jesus. So it's now. We're justified by His blood. It had to be blood shed for us. Jesus' blood was what kind of blood? Don't say red. It was red. But it was sinless. It was sinless blood. He had done nothing wrong. And so you have sinless blood being shed for sinners that you and I are. That we may be rescued. That we may be reconciled to God. Because we were saved not only from our sin, but the consequences of sin, which is God's wrath. God's wrath is like anger. There's a word, I believe it's probably in the King James Version. You have a word, it's a big word, we never use it in normal conversation, but it's called propitiation. It's a theological word probably, but you find it in some of the old translations. It's propitiation, and you read that, and it's like, it's how God's anger is satisfied. God's wrath is he's mad because of the sin we do. He loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. And so when there's propitiation for sin, it means something has happened where God's anger has been satisfied and His anger is turned into joy through a sacrifice that was done on our behalf. And Jesus is that sacrifice for us. I remember as a, when I was old enough to have a 22 rifle, I could go out on the farm and I could shoot blackbirds, gophers, and sparrows. Dad said, don't kill any other bird. But you can do those three, you get a gopher, blackbird, and sparrow. Well, I found out that as a young teenager, I'd get so mad over something, can't remember what it is anymore, but I'd get mad, I'd take the 22, I'd go hunting, and I'd shoot a robin. Or I'd shoot a bird I'd never seen before, and I'd go over and I'd look at it, and I'd feel terrible because I'm going like, I just took the life of that bird just because I was mad. I said, that poor thing should never have died, but I took its life. And I found that it took away the anger that I had, and I realized propitiation. God's anger satisfied through the sacrifice of an animal. That animal had to lose its life for God to forgive me. So that I can be reconciled through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have received reconciliation. So the reason for the box of chocolates and asking, what do you have? If you go through this scripture, Romans 5, 1 through 11, you'll see all that we have in Jesus. It's a lot of things. And it's better than a box of chocolates. And chocolate is good, right on. It's good. Romans 6:23, at the end of that verse, it says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the beginning of that verse, it says, for the wages of sin is death. I'm glad it doesn't stop there, but it goes on. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So my friends who are here today, either you have or you don't have what Romans is talking about here. Either you have a Savior or you don't. Either you have Jesus or you don't. Either you are a Christian or you're not. Which one is it for you today? Are you a Christian? Are you a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ? Because I don't see how you can say no to the things we have that Jesus provides for us, that brings us into a relationship with God and many other things. How can you say no to these things? The haves, what we have. How can you say no to chocolate? Now, some of you say, I'm diabetic. You can't do that. I just encourage you today to receive all of God's gifts in your heart and life. Then, today, right now, don't put it off. May it be today. Faith in Jesus Christ is like a box of chocolates. You never know what to get. But with Jesus, you have everything you need. You have everything. We have everything in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words that remind us of where we once were, but now because of Jesus Christ, what we have. For those who have Christ Jesus as his or her Savior and Lord. And if there's someone here today who does not, why not today? Why not right now? Where we just say, Lord, I realize that I am a big sinner, bigger than I thought. I harbor, not joy, but I harbor things that hurt people. I say things that are not the fruit of what Jesus would say to others, but I say the things that sinners say that are meant to hurt people. And so, Lord, I admit that today, and I just ask you to forgive me, because I know that I can't change myself. I've tried it before. Only you can help me. So you come and be my Savior today. I believe in you. I need your forgiveness in my life. I need you to take control of my life. And to help me to move forward in living for you. Thank you for all that you've given to me. All the haves that I have. I don't deserve it. But you are a gracious God. And you love sinners. And you forgive sinners. And you empower sinners by your Holy Spirit to live for you. It's the only way. And I just want to thank you for that today. In your name I pray. Amen. I invite you to stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.